Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Again, a shorter show for us. We're out at 5:30 for Ole Miss baseball. They're in action tonight to start their three-game series against Alabama. First pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock. We'll get you to the pregame show at 5:30. But before we get to that, Brett, go ahead. Do you have?
Yeah, good guys win 5-4 Cardinals.
Oh, how about that? Wow. See, I haven't been able to
came
watch
back
that
in the
game today, so I'm glad you were able to update me. So, big comeback for the Cardinals, a win for the Birds, 5-4. But let's go ahead and not waste any more time. We got to talk Tigers with Greg Gaston.
From the Tigers sideline, it's Tigers Talk with Memphis broadcasting legend Greg Gaston. Hear Greg weekday mornings on Sports 56 Mornings along with Eli Savoy from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. On Twitter X at Greg_Gaston. Here's Greg with Bryant and Brett.
Greg Gaston joins us like he does every single Thursday afternoon to talk Tigers, and it's a lot to get to this afternoon, Greg, football and basketball. But I want to start with football because earlier this morning on Sports 56 Mornings, y'all had Charles Huff on the show. Really, really fun interview with the new head coach. What did you think about what he had to say today? Y'all's first time talking with him since the end of spring practice.
Yeah, we had a chance earlier this year to talk to him, but it is the first time we've had him on since spring practice. You know, not a ton of things that he had to say about what he saw in spring practice. It's still a work in progress, but what I get out of every time I listen to him is cautious optimism. I think he's really confident in what he's going to be able to do as the head coach of the Tigers, but I think he's also very cautious. He's not obvious about it, let's say. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin is kind of setting it down at LSU that don't expect too much the first year. He's given hints and things of that nature. I don't think Charles Huff is doing that, but I think he's being very cautious that people shouldn't just expect this team to roll roughshod over the conference. He talked about not knowing these teams, not knowing these coaches, and having to get used to the whole thing. But I think he's really confident in what he has. I think there's going to be a lot of battles that are going to obviously continue on into August. They play week zero, so they're going to have to get ready really, really quickly, and decisions will have to be made. But I think he's going to keep everything really close to the vest, especially with the quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm. Greg, and it appears that he not only will, but that he enjoys selling the program. I don't think that was Ryan Silverfield's strongest suit. And frankly, way back to the first coach that turned around the Titanic of Tiger football, I don't think it was Justin Fuentes. I think Justin Fuentes let his actions do the talking. I think Norvell sold it really well, not as much for Silverfield. My assessment of the past coaches, is that right? And my assessment of current coach, do you think that's right?
Man, you are spot on, absolutely spot on. Fuentes, not as much. Norvell absolutely did it. And Ryan Silverfield, you know, he did some things, certainly, but he was not out in the public the way Charles Huff has taken the torch and started to run with this thing. He knows it reflects on him as well. It's not just winning. Now, he said it. We have to win. We don't expect anybody to buy a ticket to come out and watch us play if we're losing. And he said that point blank on the show today, so that's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to. They aren't going to support, in the sense of buying tickets, a bad program, a losing program. But I don't think there's any doubt that he is out there and he is selling the product as much as he can, selling the program. Look, there's a lot of optimism because, for one, it's a change and people like changes. Even though it wasn't a bad run by any stretch of the imagination, which Coach Silverfield, they didn't get to the ultimate goal. So I think people like that breath of fresh air. They obviously like what's going to happen or what is happening and will be completed in July, the renovations at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. So he'll be the coach when they play for the first time, when they take on Arkansas State in week number two. So he's selling in that aspect. I think he's absolutely out there, and he loves being out there to promote the program. But I think, Brett, your assessment is right on.
And we all know the best marketing program is winning. You can shoot T-shirt cannons, and you can have confetti, and you can give away all kind of things. But if you win, that's the best ticket seller. A win at Vegas, and then with them bringing, I think a modicum to a decent crowd, that should be a fun setting for Arkansas State.
It should, but I think also people, as I said to start this interview, cautiously optimistic. Don't walk into this season and expect, wow, they're 12-0, they're winning the conference championship. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen. Nobody really knows. And I don't even think Coach Huff knows right now exactly what his team is going to be able to do. They had 15 practices. He recruited all these guys, brought in an entire coaching staff. It's all new to him. I think he feels good about the team. But you're right. If they jump out first, go and beat Dan Mullen's team in Vegas, that's a great way to start the season. But I think either way, people, while certainly demanding winning, take it with a grain of salt early in the year. Let's see how this team progresses. But get on out there and support the team. Because, I think all the changes that are being made to that stadium, the sound system that they're going to have, the scoreboards that are going to be new in both ends. Obviously, if you're a part of the west side with all the renovations, the suites and everything that's going on, the party deck, I think just to be a part of that atmosphere at the beginning is going to be worth your while. But I think give it a little bit of time. And I think this team's going to be very competitive.
I think even around contractual terms that were released when Coach Huff signed up, I think there's something in there for him with increased ticket sales, isn't it?
I don't remember all the details. Maybe there is, and I've forgotten about it, but it makes sense. What didn't make sense was what Ryan Silverfield had in his contract, to be honest, to get the extra year every time they hit nine. And that was just
but that wasn't Dr. Scott. That was the same AD that knocked down half the stadium.
That was Larry Beach giving him that contract, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was.
I think so.
And right now, for a point of record, Ryan Silverfield is making the rounds across the strait to very tepid crowds.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Have they announced when? I assume they're going to be in West Memphis like they normally are, Brett.
Think
they
so.
Announced when?
I don't think so, because Hunter Yurecek, he's really forgotten a lot of the state. And it's only four sites that Ryan Silverfield's making. It's a bus ride to. It's only four different sites. And
wow.
Really nothing Eastern Arkansas. Maybe Jonesboro. Maybe Jonesboro, but nothing Far City, Wynn. Memphis, West Memphis, nothing like that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate
so far,
for them.
They may add dates.
Yeah, certainly you can always add. And that's the same with the Tiger Tour. I mean, it's four dates, but they can always add something if they want to. But getting back to your question about the contract, I mean, it makes sense. It's a win-win if you have incentives in that contract to put fans and put butts in the seat. And the only way you're going to do that is to be able to win and win big. Consistently, they won under Silverfield, but it didn't knock the roof off of people buying season tickets. They weren't setting records. They were getting decent crowds, but not great crowds. It depended on the team they were playing. But that's because people got accustomed all right, we'll get our nine wins and all that. Mm-hmm. Don't take that for granted. But Charles Huff came in saying, I win. That's what I do. I win. And he expects to win at the highest level in this conference, and that's winning the American Conference Championship. All I'm saying is we don't know what to expect this first year. So please be tepid. Take it with a grain of salt. If they come out, lose that first game, if you tell me they're going to be 8-4, you tell me they're going to be 10-2, I believe you in both cases. I don't know right now. So we'll find out very, very quickly.
Yeah, no, we absolutely will. We're talking with Greg Gaston. He joins us every single Thursday to talk Tigers. Over on the basketball side of things, Penny Hardaway picked up his 14th player for next season's roster, Maxime Logue, who was at Florida Atlantic last year, Oregon State the year before, was committed earlier this offseason to North Carolina, but now has committed to Memphis. They have not officially announced him as a signee, but he did announce that commitment. What did you make of that addition, and what do you think he'll bring to this team?
Well, I know he didn't play a ton, about 11 minutes a game at Florida Atlantic. I looked a lot at the video after it was announced that he was coming to Memphis, and he shows a lot of athleticism. I don't think this is a big-time scorer, big-time shooter, but he's a good rebounder. It looks like a really good defensive player at 6'9". But the fact that he was headed to North Carolina before there was a transcript issue or snafu, if North Carolina wanted him, that's good enough for, I think, Memphis fans to bring him into the University of Memphis. I don't know a ton about this guy. I don't know where he fits in right off the bat, but it was another big-ish. And when I say big-ish, 6'9 is huge to me and to all of us. Even though you're pretty tall, Brian, it's definitely huge to us. But, you know, you like to see 6'11". I'd love to see a guy with some girth. Or certainly he's a little bit on the thinner side, but I do like the athleticism, and I like the fact, again, that North Carolina was bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, Coach Hardaway really wrapping up this recruitment in a story by Jason Munns. He said it's so much better this summer than last summer. Well, last summer he was telling us that was the second best recruiting class that he ever signed. So is this the second best or is this the first best if it's
right.
So much better than last summer?
Yeah, coach speak, right? It's shocking how those things happen. I guess in hindsight,
you know, according to the recruiting gurus, every high school lineman's running a 4.240, and it's never been one at the NFL Combine ever.
Everything's great in the preseason, right? But in hindsight, sure, Penny's looking back and going, "All right, this has been a lot calmer and easier than it was last year." Because at this time last year, he was hoping for the danger waiver. They were wondering what Haggerty was going to do, although I think by mid-May they knew exactly what he was going to do. But they went into the offseason thinking they were going to be able to retain Haggerty, and somehow the danger was going to get the waiver. And then neither one happened. They were behind the eight ball. And then I think he started to panic a little bit. He started to especially when he got to the bigs, just go out there and get any bigs. But you got to get bigs with talent. Bradshaw was their big get. A guy who had a lot of potential but has never lived up to it. Now you look and he's going to Tennessee State, which is no knock on Nolan Smith. They went to the NCAA tournament last year. But the point is, again, that I think they struck out a lot, and he knows it. And now he's looking at this year going, well, he said on Dave Wilosian's show that they got every single player but two when they were going out and starting to recruit these guys. Now, I don't know if those two were the big guy from Charlotte, Funk, and then the kid from Tulane, who I loved, which I didn't think they were going to be able to get, although they were in the running. I don't know if it's those two guys, but he said he got everybody they wanted. I like what he's done with the team. I like it's a mixture. We talked about this last week. They've added some bigs since we last talked. Again, shooting is going to be better. It has to be better. It was horrible last year. They got a pass first point guard who can shoot it pretty decently, but he has a great assist to turnover ratio. So I like that. He's got the Big Ten experience, and he had played in the American for 2 years at South Florida. I'm talking about Reed. So I think they went ahead and they found they needed a whole new team, but they really had voids last year, especially in the scoring department and the offense of department, and I think they went ahead and they got the guys that they wanted. And remember, let's not downplay getting Gabriel Harris as a general manager, their first ever general manager, to help in the process. A lot of people said he came in so late that he wouldn't be a factor for this year, and I don't know the inner workings, how much of a factor he was, but I got to think that a lot of these guys have been acquired since he came on the scene, so I would think that. And he was doing some work while he was working for the G League team of the Sacramento Kings. So I think he has helped out. New staff, different recruiting vision, and then I think Penny maybe listening to some people as opposed to trying to do it all himself took a little pressure off his shoulders.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that interview Penny Hardaway had with Dave last week. I know he mentioned it there. I think he might have mentioned it at the event earlier this week as well. He wants to kind of keep that 15th roster spot in his back pocket, maybe use it on a rainy day, likes the idea of 14 guys. But you mentioned it. You look at his roster right now, the biggest guy is 6'9". You don't have a lot of height on this team. Now, we saw in the American last year, that's not really an issue. A lot of these teams in the conference don't have a lot of tall bigs on their team. Do you think they might go out there and just try to find a big tall guy to put down in the middle? Or do you think they'll just say, hey, we just trust our guys that they're going to outwork the other team, and if we're the smaller team, we're the smaller team?
There's some guys now that are opting out of the draft, but I don't think those players are players that Memphis can get because of the money that they'll command on the open market. But I think, Brian, that, yeah, for the moment he has that 15th in his back pocket, but they're not stopping recruiting. If they see a player out there that fits that need, they'll probably go after him. I would never say, just because Penny said, yeah, I'm going to hold on to the 15th, it wouldn't shock me. He turns around next week.
Not at all.
Because you're right. When they match up against some of those teams early in the season that have big front lines, they're going to be a lot smaller. Now, again, the 6'9 guys they brought in are physical and rebound well. They already got a jump on what they had last year. They were very soft last year. So you can be 6'9", don't have to be 6'11", and right. be physical and move guys out of the paint. So I think they like that. But, yeah, if they see a guy, I think, that has that extra size, and they can get him, why not? Now, the other thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I still don't believe Fred Smith is signed yet.
Yeah,
because I don't think they have an right. I don't think they've had an announcement on that yet. So, I mean, it's just something to keep an eye on because
Cello?
I think Cello has. I think I was told Cello
has.
Yeah. So, again, do the math. If for some reason, for whatever reason, Fred ended up not at Memphis, now you're back to having 13, and so you still can use one and have one in the back pocket. But I certainly hope that Fred follows through. Local guy, Briarcrest product, Mr. Basketball, two-time Mr. Basketball winner, two state champions, championships. He was on mornings. We loved having him on there. He was a delight to have on the program. But you never know what's going on until, again, they sign. I don't understand why in this day and age, when you recruit a player and a player commits, they don't have papers right there to sign. Like, it's okay. We're sending you over the paper, or we're gonna run over there ourselves if it's a local player. Here's the paperwork. Sign the damn thing.
We believe you, but we need this sign right now.
Exactly. I mean, we've even seen people get out of signing contracts, especially with college football. Mm-hmm. You know, signing and then the big money guys and get out of that. But certainly, it worries me when players don't sign and time goes on and you wonder, what is going on?
Yeah, no.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, hopefully no issues there with him, but I don't think any issues there, but hopefully we get some
hopefully
news
not.
On that soon. But Greg, we got to get out with you early today. I wanted to talk a little Tiger baseball as they're getting ready for the conference tournament, their final regular season. We get already a 2-0 lead in the first inning for the Tigers against Charlotte this afternoon, so we'll have to get into that next week, but they have been playing extremely well as of late. But as always, Greg, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care now.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Gaston joining us like he always does. And, Tigers, we talked about Ole Miss wrapping up their season. Memphis in Charlotte right now to wrap up their regular season. They've been playing well as of late. It looks like they will make the conference tournament next week after missing it, I think, back-to-back season, so would be definitely big if they make the conference tournament. We talk to Greg every single week. We talk Tigers with him, and it's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis. They have serious vans for serious work at 4430 American Way. They're the Mid-South source for cargo, passenger, crew vans, and custom chassis. Need one or a full fleet? New or used? Well, they've got it with fleet solutions and custom upfits. Certified techs keep you moving with fast maintenance, repairs, and a large parts inventory. Mercedes-Benz Van Center is your Sprinter Van headquarters. Give them a call, 901-237-9302 or sprintervans.com. Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis, part of the Tag Truck Center family, driven to keep you on the road. Let's go ahead and get to Moe's Crunch Time.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is Geraldo. It is crunch time.
You are looking live in your life.
Have you seen anything like that?
Punch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye, Joe Haskins.
It's obviously crunch time. Danny Rupp.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Well, Brett, I learned today, we've mentioned this before, but hockey is coming back to the area. Memphis, I guess more South Haven, is getting a team. They're going to play in the Landers Center starting in 2026. That was announced a couple months ago, but today they officially announced the new team name. The Mid-South Monarchs will start playing in the FPHL this upcoming season in October of 2026. So a new name, new colors. It'll be purple and gold will be the two main colors for the team. So hockey coming back to the Landers Center. I've already told everybody I know and everybody that wants to go with me, I'll have season tickets for it. I'm all in on the Monarchs. They're my team now. We're big Monarchs fans here.
Of course you will. You're a hockey expert.
I mean, I got to be. So
you're a hockey guy.
I got to be that guy.
You are. What I learned today, sometimes it just happens. Who among us hadn't had too much Friday night or maybe Saturday night or maybe both and been late for a tee time, plus two after zero holes played? That's tough to look up at, but he recovered. What if that's the difference in Sunday and him winning his first major?
Yeah, it could be. Man, that's a crazy story. I still
what a lesson to learn.
It is. I mean, hey, that's right.
Please tell me they wouldn't amend it. Please.
No. I think you got to serve your penalty. I don't think they would go back on it. I mean, he's one under, so I guess he's. I don't think Higa will be around on Sunday.
Three under would be co-leading.
That's right. Yeah,
the two penalty shots.
That's true. That's that. Or was it? Is he one under after the penalty, or I think he was one under before the penalty, or is it after the penalty?
He is one under, and that's with the penalty.
Oh wow! So
he would be three under.
Wow! See, I thought when I read it, I thought he was one under, and then you put it on time, so he's one over in the. Wow! That is crazy. So yeah, that really is hurting him today. But what I could have done without today? Well, it is all the controversy over last night's game, the end of the regular season. Look, it was one of those where it was up in the air. Two guys going after a loose ball. Player gets tripped up. Do you make the call? Do you not make the call? I'm completely fine with a no call in that situation. Just let the game play out. And at the end of the day, everybody crying, saying that Detroit got robbed and that they should have won that game and Thompson should have gone to the free throw line for some shots. I mean, there were so many different times that game where Detroit lost the game. They should have never come to that point for Detroit. It really should have never come to that point for Cleveland. Both teams had plenty of opportunities before that moment to win the game without going into overtime. So I'm not gonna cry over it. I'm not gonna freak out over it. If they didn't call it a foul, cool. If they called it a foul, cool. I'm not losing sleep over it.
I'm not wild. What I could have done with that, I'm not wild about the new lottery system. I think Adam Silver is just doing something to do something. Just go with worst goes first. The least among us goes first. There's still going to be a lot of people that are able to find a loophole.
No, they definitely will. Where are you beaming tonight?
All PGA for me. First round close to being done. Tomorrow at this time, here's the cut line. Top 70 in ties. That's what it'll be down to around this time tomorrow.
Yeah, it will. It'll be fun to see how it finishes out tonight. And then certainly all the action tomorrow will beam me. How about we go to this Canadian Sabres series? This series has been a lot of fun. I've mentioned a lot about how much I love to watch this Canadiens team play. And so you know, maybe they get a win on the road here. Buffalo's been a super fun story. That series, two apiece on TNT, getting started in about 30 minutes.
Buffalo will be rocking if somehow they won the Stanley Cup. Somebody tries to go over the falls.
Yeah, no,
with the cup.
I think so. No, it would be mayhem out there if the Sabres could
no
win.
No NBA
all.
Tonight.
No.
Two potential closeouts though. For tomorrow night, mm-hmm. One potential closeout tonight in hockey. Anaheim must win or Vegas moves on to Western Conference Finals. an all-important game five for my Sabres.
That's right. Big one for your Sabres. Pride. That's right. So no NBA tonight, a couple of NHL games, a couple of Major League Baseball games as well, but a little bit of a slower night. We'll get NBA back tomorrow night. But again, we're out early this afternoon as Ole Miss Baseball, they're in action, starting their final weekend series of the regular season against Alabama. Game set for 6 o'clock, but we'll get you out there for the pregame show at 5:30. So that's all time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.